Run Sadi Gimel Ahmed Aleph, Ein Yaakov Var on page Ayin Vav, paragraph Nun Gimel. Amar Rabbi Tanchum Bar Chanilai. Rabbi Tanchum Bar Chanilai said, "B'shash Yatzu Chanani Mishal Vazari Mekipshan Ha'esh, Ba'u Kol Umot Ha'olam V'tafku L'Sanihim Sheisrael Apnehem." When Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah came out of the furnace, the Goyim came and slapped all of the Jews on their faces. Amrulahem, they said, Yesh lachem Eloka kazev atem mishtachavim atzelev, you have a God like this, and you bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's image? You have a God who saved Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah in such a miraculous way, and you bow down to the image? Immediately, the people said, "To you, Hashem, is righteousness, and to us is shame on this day." Sounds from there like the rest of the Jewish people, or some part of the rest of the Jewish people, bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's image. Hold that thought. I'm Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani. I'm Rabbi Yonatan. My dichtiv, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani said, "Name Rabbi Yonatan." My dichtiv. What is the meaning of the pasuk? Amarti elev v'tamar ochazav v'sansinav. I said I would go up the palm tree. I would hold its branches. Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Hakadosh Baruch Hu said, "Amarti elev v'tamar." Ani amarti elev v'tamar. I said I would be elevated by the palm tree, Elu Yisrael. This refers to the Jewish people, who Rashi says are compared to a palm tree, because just like a palm tree has only one heart, so too the Jewish people have only one heart, and it's that is their they are single-minded in about serving Hashem. But instead, I got only one branch of. And it's Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. Next page, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, "My dichtiv ra'iti halayla b'nei ish rochev al sus adov u'meid b'na hadasim asher musra." What is the meaning of the pasuk in Zechariah? I saw this night the man riding on a red horse, standing between the hadasim in the pond or the swamp. Acharav susim adumim surukim ulvanim, and after him were red horses and sorrel colored horses and that's white horses. That's a good question. Okay. Sorrel. We read this Gemara once before, Daf Yomi style, and we discussed that we don't know what that color is. That's how the art scroll translates it. It's possibly a shade of green. My ra'iti alayla. What does it mean? I saw this night. Because the people bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's image, wanted to turn the entire world to night. There's a man riding. The ish is Hashem, as it says. Hashem ish milchama. Hashem is a man of war. Al sus adam, on a red horse, b'keish HaKadosh Baruch Hu lafoch et kol olam kulo l'dam. Hashem wanted to turn the whole world to blood. Kevan shnistakel, Hanani, Mishael, v'Azariah nitkara dato. When he saw Hanani, Mishael, v'Azariah, he cooled off. Calmed down. Shenemar, v'omeid b'ena hadasim, Hashem v'Mitzlah, it says he was standing among the hadasim in the wetlands. Ein hadasim ela tzadikim. Hadasim refers to tzadikim. Shneamar vahi omein et hadasa, as it says that Mordechai was raising hadasa. Hadasa, another name for Esther. The ein mitzula ela bavel, and the mitzula, the wetlands, refers to bavel. Shneamar homer litzula charavi, as it says in Yeshaya, the one who says to the wetlands, "Dry up," and arotai chovish, and I will dry up your rivers. Reference to Bavel. Miad mileim roges nasus srukim vadumim nasul vanim. Immediately, the angry horses turned green and the red horses turned white, which alludes to atonement, or at least to Hashem, so to speak, calming down. If you say "Mu chatainu kashani kashel chataychem kashani kashel yabinu," if your sins will be like scarlet, they will turn white. Amar Papa Shma Mina Susya Chivara Mali Lachalma. So Papa said, you see from here that a white horse is a good dream. The Gemara here certainly leaves us with the impression that everyone bowed down to the image, except for Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. The Gemara asks, where was Daniel? So it seems like everyone except Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah and Daniel bowed down to the image, and so the Gemara has to ask, where was Daniel? There are two other sources in Chazal that we need to get a full understanding of this, that we need to look at, and then we will understand what happened here, and we will understand the Purim story. And I did not plan it this way, it just worked out this way. Now, incidentally, Rav Sadia Gaon, in his commentary on Daniel, he asks, Ma tomar bishar kilot bavel, o bishar yisrael? What are you going to say about the rest of the people of Bavel and the rest of the Jewish people? Hishtachavu lo olav? Did they bow down to this image or not? And he answers that it's impossible that Nebuchadnezzar wanted everyone in the world to bow down. And along with that, all the Jews, it's not physically possible that they could all come to this, everyone in Nebuchadnezzar's empire could come to this place and bow down to this image. So rather, we need to understand that Nebuchadnezzar chose representatives of every nation and had them bow down to the image. And Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah were the representatives of the Jewish people. And when the Gemara asks, he doesn't say this, but we could understand that when the Gemara asks, where was Daniel? The Gemara is asking, why wasn't Daniel chosen by Nebuchadnezzar as a representative of the Jewish people? And the Gemara says, Nebuchadnezzar sent Daniel away. We'll get back to that Gemara again. At first glance, Rav Sadia Gaon's commentary seems to be not like the Gemara. Gemara says that everybody or many people bowed down. And he's saying that Nebuchadnezzar only asked Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah to bow down in the first place. He didn't ask anyone else to bow down, any other Jew. And he chose representatives. So after we see the Medrash and the other Gemara that we're going to see, we will have a better understanding of Rav Sadia Gaon's commentary as well. Not that it couldn't be contrary to Gemara, because a pshat commentator on Navi often gives an explanation different from the Gemara. It's not unusual, but we'll see that they happen to be consistent in this case. The Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, says, Sha'alu Tamidav et Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's students asked him, Mipnei ma nitchayvu soneihem shel Yisrael shmoto dor klaya? Why were the enemies of the Jewish people, a euphemism for the Jewish people, in that generation, why were they deserving of destruction? Referring to the generation of Mordechai and Esther. Why were they deserving of destruction? Amar lahem, imru atem. So he said, you tell me. Amrulo, they said, Vipnei she'nehenu misudato shel to rasha. Because they enjoyed the suda of that rasha, Achashverosh, at the beginning of the Megillah. There's the feast of Achashverosh. The Jews were there, and they enjoyed it, and so they were deserving of destruction. So he said back to them, Im Kain, if so, Shibishushan Yargu. Well, that would explain why the Jews in Shushan would be deserving of being put to death. Shibachol Olam Kulo Al Yargu, but the rest of the Jews in the world, what did they do? Amrulos, they said to him, Emorata, okay, you tell us. Amar Lahem, Mipnei Shishtachavu Latzalem. So he said, it's because they bowed down to Nebuchadnezzar's image. Amrulo, again, that sounds like all the Jews bowed down to Nebuchadnezzar's image. Amrulo, so they said to him, V'chi maso panim yesh badavar? Is there bribery or favoritism going on here? In other words, if that's the case, then how were the Jewish people saved? So he answered them, Amar lahem, he said to them, Heim lo asu al lifnim, they only did it for appearance's sake. because they were afraid. They only bowed down to the image because they were afraid of Nebuchadnezzar. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu only made Haman's decree for appearance's sake. And that's the meaning of the pasuk. He did not do this from his heart. Hashem didn't mean it. They didn't mean it when they bowed down to Nebuchadnezzar's image. Hashem didn't mean it when he decreed for Haman to wipe them out. I've never seen any commentary who says this, but it's fascinating to me. We read the Megillah, we don't realize that the entire core of the Megillah, from Haman's decree until Haman's death, was 4 days. Haman cast his lots and wrote his letters and sent them out with messengers. By the time the majority of the Jewish people knew about Haman's decree, Haman was dead already. So when the Gemara says that it was all an act, Hashem only did it for appearance's sake, it really gives new meaning to that. It really, because it never was. The whole decree, except for the people in Shushan and around Shushan who heard about it immediately, the decree never existed. Because by the time people heard about it, it was already over. The whole thing was already over.
It was over, okay? not in the sense that they didn't have to battle with the...
They did. They did. That's true.
Attack them later.
That's true. And the people, I mean, you could argue the people who didn't know Haman was dead, the Goyim also didn't know Haman was dead, so they were going to attack him. It's true. But you see, it to me, all right, you don't have to like my shot.
The second message was already on the way.
You don't have to like my shot. To me, it's striking that the whole episode was primarily over by the time most people even knew about it. Okay. In any event, from this Gemara in Megillah, it also sounds like most of the people or a lot of the people bowed down to Nebuchadnezzar's image, just like our Gemara in Sanhedrin. Medrash Shir HaShirim Rabbah on Perek Zayin, Pasuk Chet, Pasuk Zot Komatech Damtala Tamar, says as follows. Zot Komatech Damtala Tamar, this is your height similar to a palm tree. It's a Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Rabbi Chunya B'Shem Rabbi Dosa Bar Tevet. Rabbi Chunya said in name of Rabbi Dosa Bar Tevet, Shnei Yitzharim Barakadosh Baruch Hu Bolamo. Hashem created two primary Yitzharas in his world. Yitzhar Avodah Zarah, an evil inclination to do Avodah Zarah, the Yitzhar Znut, and an evil inclination for immorality or adultery. Yitzhar Avodah Zarah Kvar Nekar. The Yitzhara for Avodah Zarah was already uprooted. The Yetzer Znut, Hu Kayam, the Yetzahara for Znut, still exists. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kol Mishu Yachol Amod B'Znut, Ma'aleh Ani Alav Ki'ilu Omed B'Shtehem. Hashem said, if anyone can withstand the Yetzahara for Znus, I give him credit as if he withstood both. Why is that? So the commentary, Tiferet Zion, explains that if Hashem created two Yetzaharas, must be the purpose he wanted to accomplish. The world needed to have these two Yetzaharas and needed us to defeat these two Yetzaharas. That means that when the Yetzahara for Avodah Zarah was destroyed, we lose out. We no longer have that opportunity to grow by defeating that Yetzahara. So Hashem says, the Medrash is saying, Hashem says, I give you credit as if you did both. Because otherwise, it's not a favor to us that the Yetzirah is gone, because we're losing out credit for feeding the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. So Medrash continues. Amar of Yehuda. So Yehuda said, to what is this comparable? L'chabar shayalo shnei chachinim. To a snake charmer who had students. Chabar et agdola. He had two snakes, a big one and a small one. He charmed the big one, and he left the small one alone. Amar, anybody who can defeat the small one, who can charm the small one, it's as if he charmed both of them. So what's the mashal? The mashal is, Tiferet Zion explains, that a big snake is more dangerous than a little snake. If you are teaching young snake charmers, you don't put them at risk by leaving the big snake out there. You charm the big snake and to protect them, and you let them practice on the small snake. However, the skills necessary to charm a small snake are the same as the skills necessary to charm a big snake. So he told his students, if you can do the small one, you can do the big one too. Similarly, the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah is the more damaging of the two Yetzer Haras, because a person who engages in snus can repent. A person who engages in Avodah Zarah is less likely, it's harder to repent. But the skills are the same. The skills for both of them, for charming, so to speak, the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah and the Yetzer Hara for snus are the same. Learn Torah, do mitzvah. Have fear of God. They're the same skills. So Hashem says, I'll take care of the big snake, the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. I'll leave the small one for you. But since they involve the same skills, if you could take care of the small one, I know you could take care of the big one too. I'll give you credit for it. Now, obviously, we couldn't take care of it. That's why it had to be gotten rid of. But since the skills are the same, it's as if we did both. That's what Rabbi Yehuda is explaining with his mashal. Kach akar kadosh b'chu yetzer avodah zarah v'nich shosnut. So Hashem uprooted the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah and left the one for Znus. Amar komi shomed b'yetzer znut malim lo ki lamad b'shehem. Whoever can conquer the Yetzer Hara or withstand the Yetzer Hara for Znus, I give him credit as if he stood up to both of them. Medrash asks, Ematai nekar Yetzer Avodah Zarah? When was the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah uprooted? Now, if you are learning Masechet Yoma, or remember Masechet Yoma, the Gemara there says, the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, they davened to uproot the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. The Gemara is not arguing with that, but rather, in order for that tefillah to be successful, to have been successful, it was successful, they uprooted the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah, the Jewish people had to have done something to deserve it. There's a concept that the itaruta letata, the awakening below, our awakening, brings about an awakening in Shemayim. We, our actions influence God. So in order for the Anshei Knesset HaGdola at the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash to have successfully uprooted the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah, we had to have done something first to deserve that. So the Medrash is asking, when did that happen? Rabbi Benaya Omer, Elu Mordechai v'Esther. Rabbi Benaya says, it was Mordechai and Esther. Rabbanan Amri, Elu Hanani, Mishael and Azariah. And Rabbanan say that it was Hanani, Mishael and Azariah. They did not bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's idol. This Medrash is learning. We saw when we read the Gemara through before, it's a machlokas, whether Nebuchadnezzar's idol was Avodah Zarah or not. This Medrash is learning it was Avodah Zarah. So that's one possibility. The other possibility is, you know, that Haman wore an idol around his neck, and that's why Mordechai refused to bow down to him. And at least that's one opinion. And so when Mordechai refused to bow down to Haman's idol, that's what created the schos to destroy the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. Yes. The first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in large part because of Avodah Zarah. All of the Nevi'im of the first Beis HaMikdash, Yirmiyah, Yeshaya, they're reprimanding the Jewish people for Avodah Zarah. First Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. During the period, Nebuchadnezzar was the king who destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash. He's the one who made this image. He's the one who threw Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah into the furnace. His great-granddaughter was Vashti, married Ahasuerus. Also, during the 70 years of Golos between first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash. So Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, Mordechai, Daniel, Yechezkel, they're all in that period between the first and second Beis HaMikdash. And we'll have to ask. We asked, where was Daniel? Where was Mordechai? Did Mordechai bow down? Where was Mordechai? We'll come back to that. Then the second Beis HaMikdash was built, and in the second Beis HaMikdash there is no Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara in Yoma explains that the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, the sages at the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, they davened to wipe out that Avodah Zarah, that Yesahara for Avodah Zarah. And the Medrash is asking, in what Zuchus were they able to do that? So one opinion says, in the Zuchus of Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, not bowing down to Nebuchadnezzar's image. And one says, in the Zuchus of Mordechai and Esther, not bowing down to Haman's image. The Medrash continues, Meitivin Rabbanan l'Rabbi Benaya v'chia yidei yechidi ayan ekar. You tell me, because of one person, Mordechai, the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah could have been uprooted. Motiv Rabbi Benaya l'Rabbanan v'chia Mordechai v'Esther yechidim hayu. Were they one person? Hadam Messiah l'Rabbi Benaya. The following supports Rabbi Benaya that it was not Mordechai and Esther alone who had this zuchus. Am Rabbi Tanchum. Tanchuma, Rabbi Miyasha, Rabbi Yirmiya, B'Shem, Rabbi Shmuel, Bar Kahana, Ktiv, it says, Sak va'efer yutzal rabim, says in Megillas Esther, sackcloth and ashes were brought out for the multitudes. Ruban shel hador tzadikim ayu, the majority of that generation were tzadikim. The majority of that generation apparently did not bow down to Haman, even though the Megillah doesn't tell us that. V'dayim Messiah l'Rabbanan. The following supports the Rabbanan who say that the Mordechai's generation did not have such merit. It was Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah who had such merit. And it's not Akasha because they were three people. Three people already is a lot. Rabbi Pinchas, Rabbi Chilkiah, B'Shem, Rabbi Shmuel. The following supports the Rabbanan. Rabbi Pinchas, Rabbi Chilkiah, B'Shem, Rabbi Shmuel, Aktiv, V'zachru pliteichem oti b'goyim asher nishbu shama. Your remnants remembered me among the goyim where they were imprisoned, where they were taken captive. Your remnants, your refugees, refers to Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, who were refugees from the furnace. It doesn't say among the goyim where they lived. It says among the goyim where they were taken captive. We know Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah were the ones taken captive. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Israel, Hashem said to Jewish people, Ephraim, Mali Odlat Sabim, Mali Li Yitzra Shavodah Zarah. Ephraim, a reference to the Jewish people. What do I need this Yetzirah for anymore? Ani Aniti, and I answered them, Ani Uneti Lo. That is, I answered the Jewish people, Lo Ashurenu, Lo Amarnu Shira Lefanecha. We did not sing Shira in front of you. Heve Omer, I, Hashem, am the one who subdued the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. So Medrash asks, Im Kain, if the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah was already uprooted in the time of Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, the process already began, then Lama Bari Sarva Safek Mehaman, why were the Jewish people in doubt? Why did they think they would be killed in a time of Haman? Rabbanan, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. It's Machlokas, Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbanan Amre, Al Shavdu Yisrael Avodah Zarah. It's because they did Avodah Zarah, because they did bow down to the image of Nebuchadnezzar. Even though Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah didn't, so the strength of Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah allowed the process to begin of uprooting the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. But the people bowed down, so they deserved to be put at risk in the time of Haman, and then they repented, and that decree was annulled. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Amar, Al Shachum Mitavshil Goyim. It's because they ate Bishul Akum, cooking of non-Jewish people, in the time of Achashverosh's party. Amrulo. So they said to him, but it was only people of Shushan who ate. Now, you see here a seeming contradiction. In the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said that the Haman's decree was because they bowed down to the image. Here, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is saying it's because they ate at Achashverosh's party. In the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said eating at Achashverosh's party wasn't enough of a reason. And here, the Rabbanan asked Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai the same question he asked his students. So Rav Shlomo Alkabetz, the author of L'cha Dodi, and the rest of today's shiur, or tomorrow's, because I don't think we're going to finish it today, is going to be based on Rav Shlomo Alkabetz in his commentary on Megillas Esther, Manos Halevi. He says, you could say, two different opinions about what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai holds. It's a machlokas between the Medrash and the Gemara. He says that would be intellectually lazy, and we're not going to do that. We're going to answer the question, but we're not going to get there today, I'm pretty sure. So the Medrash says, so they said to him, Alaloch lo suda elan shei shushan bi Rabbi Mada. It was only the people of Shushan who ate from the suda. Adau d'ichtiv, v'mlotem yima'ela, as it says, that at the conclusion of Achashverosh's first feast, he invited all the people of Shushan to his second feast. Amrulo, v'alolokol yisrael arvim, ilain v'ilain. So they answered him, all the Jewish people are responsible for each other. D'ichtiv, v'chashlu ish b'achiv, as it says, one person will stumble over his brother. Ish b'avon achiv, a person over the sin of his brother. Amar lahem, im k'datchem atem chiyavtem mikol yisrael klaya. In that case, according to you, all the Jewish people deserve to be destroyed. Because it says that one who does Avodah Zarah will be eradicated. If even some of the Jewish people bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's image, everyone deserves to be destroyed. So why weren't they? Amrulo, they said to him, they did not serve Nebuchadnezzar's idol with their full hearts. As the pasuk in Echa says, they did not do it from their hearts. Even so, Hashem brought pain on the sons of man, on the Jewish people. He brought upon them a difficult person to test them. Zed Nebuchadnezzar. And then he healed their wound. There were two times when the Jewish people acted incompletely with Hashem. In Sinai, they used their lips and not their hearts. In Sinai, they said, Naseh v'nishma. Their hearts were not in it. Jewish people didn't mean it when they said Naseh v'nishma. We will come back and explain this too. I will foreshadow a little bit the explanation given for this by a contemporary prominent Rav in Yerushalayim, Rav Leib Mintzberg, who explains that when you have a contradiction between a pasuk and a medrash, the pasuk is telling you what you would have seen had you been there. The pasuk said that the Jewish people said Naseh v'nishma. That's what you would have seen. The medrash is telling you what was going on beneath the surface. You wouldn't have seen it. You need Chazal to tell you what was really going on. In fact, the Jewish people were not completely sincere when they said Naseh v'nishma. And he will explain this as well with the Chazal, which also ties into Purim, of Kafalem Har Kigigit, that Hashem held the mountain over the Jewish people. Their acceptance of the Torah was not voluntary, and only in the time of Mordechai and Esther, they accepted the Torah fully. So that we will have to come back to later this week. So you will be fully prepared for Purim. But that's what the Medrash says. Pasuk in Tehillim says, Vayifatu b'fiem, they seduced Hashem with their lips, v'loshonam yechazvulo, with their tongues, they lied to him. Their hearts were not straight with Hashem. In Bavel, it was the opposite. They acted in their hearts, but not with their mouths. They bowed down. They had fear in their hearts. They had fear of Nebuchadnezzar. So they bowed down to his idol, but they didn't speak words of accepting his idol because they weren't accepting his idol. Even so, Hashem brought upon them a man, and this man was Haman, about whom it says, Ish tsar v'oyev. He got makatan, and he healed their wound. Aldat Rabbanan, so according to Rabbanan, it comes out, Avdu Yisrael Avodah Zarah v'mei Nebuchadnezzar. The Jewish people did Avodah Zarah in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. Adat Rav Shimon Bar Yochai loved to Yisrael Avodah Zarah b'mei Nebuchadnezzar. According to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, they did not do Avodah Zarah in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. Adat Rabbanan of Yisrael Avodah Zarah kitzad. According to the Rabbanan, they did Avodah Zarah. How so? Nebuchadnezzar hamid selem v'frish esrim v'shlosha mikol umah v'umah v'esrim v'shlosha mikol Yisrael. According to the Rabbanan, Nebuchadnezzar put up his idol. He chose 23 people from every nation. Like Rav Sadia Gaon says, it's impossible that he intended everybody in the world to bow, everybody in his empire to bow down to his image. Transportation wasn't that good. And there wasn't room in the valley for everybody in his empire. He chose 23 people from every nation. Three of them did not bow down, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, meaning 20 people, 20 Jews did bow down. So the Jewish people, through their representatives, did Avodah Zarah in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. Aldat Rabbi Shimon, law of Yisrael Avodah Zarah Kitzad. According to Rabbi Shimon, they did not, the Jewish people did not bow down to, did not do Avodah Zarah. How so? Nebuchadnezzar Hamid Selah V'Yifrishu Kolu Mavu Mashal Shash L'Sha. Nebuchadnezzar put up his idol and chose three representatives from each nation. Ushal Shalom V'Kol Yisrael, three Jews. Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. The three representatives from the Jewish people, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they refused to bow down, meaning no Jews bowed down. They went to Daniel. Now, Daniel was not one of the chosen ones. According to this, we would, again, explain the Gemara. The Gemara asked, where was Daniel? The Gemara is saying, why wasn't Daniel one of the chosen ones? So they went to Daniel. And they said, Amrulo Rabbeinu Daniel. They said, our Rebbe Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar hamid selam v'yifrish mikol umavu mashal shash l'sha v'lanu yifrish mikol Yisrael. Nebuchadnezzar put up his image, and he chose three people from every nation, and he chose us from the Jewish people. Ma ata omer lanu nisgod le olo. What do you say? Should we bow down or not? Mar lahem inen avi lifnechem l'chu itzlo. Daniel said, what are you asking me for? We have a Navi. Daniel was not a Navi, seemingly. We'll have to talk about that in a future shiur. Was Daniel a Navi? Here seems to be saying Daniel was not a Navi. He's saying, go ask a Navi. What do you want? What are you asking me for? So, Halchula Miyad Itzel Yecheskel. So they went to Yecheskel, Hanavi. Amrulo, Kamosh Amrul Daniel, Nisgodele Olo. They told Daniel, they told him the same thing they told Daniel. They said, should we bow down or not? Marlem Kvarmukubalani Mishaya Rabbi. I've already received a tradition from my Rebbe Yeshaya. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya, Chavav Chaf, Chavi Kimat Rega Ad Yavor Zam. Hide out for a moment until the anger passes. Many Gdolim bring this as strategy for Jews in Galus. Just don't make a scene, hide out. The anger will pass, the trial will pass, everything will be okay. So they said, Amrule. Ma'at ba'id yon amrin hadein salma sagidin le kol umaya? You want people to say that everybody bowed down, including the Jews? There are going to be a lot of people there. If we aren't there, people are just going to assume the Jews were there and bowed down. Because there are going to be hundreds, thousands of people there, and everybody's going to bow down, and nobody's going to protest. We need to go protest. Amarlon Mata Namrin. So he said, well, what do you want to do? What do you say? Amrule, they said to him, Anan Ba'inan Nitain Be Pigam Dineve Taman Velonisgodle. They said, we are going to damage the idol by being there and not bowing down. We're going to be there, we're going to protest, we're going to make a scene. Begin Dihon Amrin Hadain Salma Kolumaya Sagile the Barishel. So the people will know. Everybody bowed down except for the Jews. Amar Lahem, so he said to them, Im Kedatchem, if that's what you want to do, Hamtinu li Hashem lech begura. Let me go ask Hashem. Hadau dichtiv, bau anashim izignei Yisrael, lidrosh et Hashem v'yishvu lefanai. That's why it says in Yechezkel, Perek Chaf, Pasuk Aleph, people came from the elders of Yisrael to ask Hashem, and they sat before me. Umi hayu, who were these people? Eilu Hanani Mishael Azariah. They were Hanani Mishael Azariah. Amar lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to paraphrase now because we're running out of time. So he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if they do this, are you going to save them? And Hashem said, no, not going to save them. So Yechezkel went back to Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, and he said that I asked Hashem, and Hashem told me, I'm not going to save them. Yechezkel cried at the destruction that was going to come to the Jewish people. And then he told them, I'm sorry, and then he told them, Hashem said he's not going to save you. Amrulo bein mikayim bein shem mikayim anu notnim nafshtein okdor shashmo. And they said, doesn't matter to us. We're going to go give our lives for Kiddush Hashem. It's a halachic question. is a person allowed to give his life if he has an out? We know for our avodah zarah, a person has to give his life. But what if he can escape? Is he allowed to give his life? Seems here, Hanani, Mishael, and Zariah Paskin, that he's allowed because they could have escaped. And they said, no, we're going to go take a stand and give our lives. The Medrash says that you should know that this is the case because first they said to Nebuchadnezzar, we believe in a God who could save us if he wants to. And then they said to Nebuchadnezzar, next pasuk, we're going to do this and we're going to die for our God. Which answers your question from 2 weeks ago, Howie. Who says they had time to change their clothes? Well, between Pasuk Yud Zayin and Pasuk Yud Chet, the Medrash is saying they had time to go consult Yechezkel. So they must have had time to change their clothes also. So they went, and then Hashem says, after they're gone, Hashem says to Yechezkel, did you really think I'm not going to save them? Of course I'm going to save them. Which leads to the question, Hashem lied? Hashem told Yechezkel, I'm not going to save them. The answer is, I think, the Medrash doesn't say, I think the answer is simple. Before they made up their minds to give up their lives, they did not deserve to be saved. So Hashem said, right now, if I tell you that I'm going to save them, they don't deserve to be saved, so I'm not going to save them. So I have to tell you, I'm not going to save them. But after they left and went to give up their lives, Hashem came back to Yechezkel and said, come on, did you really think I'm not going to save them? Of course I'm going
to
save them.
It's not the same for them to jump into a fire knowing that they're going to be saved.
Exactly. Right. It's the same thing about Avram went through the furnace and Nimrod said to Haran, Avram's brother, whose side are you on? And Haran said, ask me in 5 minutes. Well, let's see what happens to my brother Avram and then I'll tell you. When Avram came out, Haran said to Nimrod, I'm on his side. I'm on Avram's side. So Haran threw Nimrod through Haran into the furnace and he did not survive. Why? Because he didn't sacrifice his life the way Avram did. He didn't deserve to be saved. So in the same way, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah did not deserve to be saved until they went and sacrificed their lives. Then they deserved to be saved. So I think that's why Hashem said, I'm not going to save them. So they went and were saved. So that is the Medrash. So we have our Gemara, which seems to say that the people did avodah zarah. The Gemara in Megillah, which seems to say the people did avodah zarah. The Medrash, which begins to give us a solution, say, well, there were only 20 people who bowed down. But the Medrash causes us more problems because in the Gemara, it was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai who said the people did avodah zarah. And in the Medrash, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says people didn't do avodah zarah, and the whole decree of Haman was because of Achashverosh's suda, not because of the idol. So lots of questions and more questions before we get to the answers. Come back tomorrow, Ms. Hashem, and we'll continue.